I want us to look at a message that has really been stirring me up, and so I think it's going to be helpful for this difficult time that we're going through. And I want to start by this morning by looking at Exodus 3, starting in verse 13 and then verse 14. And it says this, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. That is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, I am. Father, we pray today that you would give us open hearts and ears to hear your word, to understand it, to apply it to our lives, to be reassured by it and build up. But also, God, I ask you to help me to be accurate as I teach it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This idea of the name of God being I am when Moses asked him has always fascinated me. And I remember that when the first time it really began to kind of stir me up and just, you know, I wanted to study it more and understand it. I was pastoring in California and I was on my way back from visiting a gentleman who was in Santa Barbara in the hospital. And family had really gone through some incredibly hard times over the previous several years. I mean, it was almost, you know, a modern day Job experience. And I remember just asking God, who's going to take care of this family? Who's going to meet their needs? How are they going to get through this difficult time? Who's going to care for them? And just as clear as could be, God's voice went off inside of me. It wasn't audible, but it was loud and clear inside of me. And God said, I am. And so it really struck me that the name of God, I am, is also the answer to our questions when we have needs, when we have difficult situations we're going through. How are we going to get through them? Who's going to see us through those times? And the answer is the name of God, I am. And so I begin to study this, and I want to do a little bit of an overview of the name of I am. Obviously, there's a lot more to it this morning, but I want to kind of give this overview. The name I am in the Hebrew means to exist, to be, to accomplish, to commit, cause, or to come to pass, to cause to happen. And there's another aspect about the name is that the name I am is always empathetic. It always has empathy to it. Now, the idea of an empathetic person is someone who shares the feelings of another person. They can identify with the feelings of another person when they're going through various situations. The word empathy or empathetic is actually a relatively new term. It was coined by a German philosopher, Rudolf Lotz, in 1858. And Lotz did this with the idea of art, in that it was a term to explain that when we look at a work of art, that we can identify with what we project our own feelings upon that work of art that we're seeing. For example, if there's a painting of a woman crying over the loss of a loved one, we can identify that with that sadness, because we've been in that situation. So the idea is that we identify with those feelings because they are our feelings as well. So God, this idea of empathetic, Lotz came up with the term because he went to the Greek empathia, which means passion. And so God, in the name I am, lets us know that he has a passion for us. He has a caring about what we're going through. He empathizes with us when we're going through the difficult times in life. And he cares about us. This idea, he has passion for us. So I want to go back and I want to start and look at this passage of scripture I opened with in a little larger context. So I'm going to go back to Exodus 3, starting in verse 7 and read through verse 14. It says, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about them and their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians have oppressed them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, the Lord, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. That is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Now, we see in this exactly what I was describing, that God has empathy with us. He identifies with what the people are going through. I talk a lot of times about how important it is for us to identify with Christ, but the name I am is an example of God identifying with us. He identifies with what we're going through. And it says here, the Lord responds, he's responding to the misery of the people. It says they're crying out, they're concerned, they're suffering, and he identifies with that. He says, I have indeed seen the misery of my people. So we see here God doing exactly what he said. His name entails. He is empathizing with what they're going through. It is his nature. In verse 8, it is the nature of I am to, because of this empathy, to rescue his peoples. He says, I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them out of this land. Instead of a land of oppression, he's going to bring them into a land of good and spacious land. So God is, his name is telling them, I empathize with you, I identify with you, I care about your misery, and I hear your crying and see your suffering, and I'm going to bring you out of that situation. Because why? My name tells you it's my nature to do that. I'm identifying with you. So he tells Moses to use this name so that they will understand that God is going to deliver them out of their misery. As you go on in verse 9, God says, he hears their cries. He sees that they're being oppressed. He says their cries have reached him, and he sees that it's the Egyptians who are oppressing them. In verse 11, it says that, Moses says, who am I? But Moses is focused on himself because he says, who am I? What do I have to bring to this? How am I going to speak to Pharaoh and to the people? And rather than Moses, when he says, who am I? God turns around and says, I am. And I like that. When we get in hard situations, we focus on ourselves. When we're going through the tough times, we focus on ourselves. What can I do? How am I going to get through this? Moses does the same thing. He says, who am I? What can I possibly do? God turns it around and says, you don't have to worry about who you are. You have to worry about who I am. And I am who identifies with you, who empathizes with you, is going to meet the need and take care of this. So we need to be in act in obedience. When God shows up, we need to act in obedience for him. In order for God to be I am, it's important for us to obey him. Verse 12, let me read that again. It says, and God said, I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When I have brought you out people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. It's important for us to do our part. When God delivers us, when God brings us out of these situations, then we need to be obedient, to see him as Lord, to worship him in a way that he deserves. Going on in verse 14, God tells Moses, this is my nature. The name I am demonstrates God's very nature. I am. I'm going to deliver you. It's his nature to bring them out of this misery. It's like his name says, this is what I do. This is what I do. I care for my people. I identify with what they're going through, and I meet their needs. He is a God of empathy. When we go to the very name of God, I am, we see that he is a God who empathizes with us. So Moses was letting the Israelites know that he was going to act in the authority and the nature of God because God had empathy for their situation. Now, this empathetic aspect of God is always present in his nature. It doesn't come and go. We see it time and time again throughout Scripture. It is his nature, and that is what's important when we see and hear this name, I am. We need to understand that God is telling us, this is my nature. This is my who I am and what I do. And I want to look at some various passages in the New Testament that helps us understand this even better, that God is always empathetic. It is His nature. In Revelation 1:8, it says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega," says the Lord God, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. It doesn't change. He is always consistent in His nature. In the past, in the present, in the future, God will always be I am. We should never question, we should never have to doubt whether or not God identifies with what they're going through. I mean, you hear sometimes people say, what I'm going through, where is God in this? Does He not know? Does He not care? He's telling us, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In the past, in the present, in the future, my nature doesn't change. I am who I am, and that's always going to be the case. I'm always going to be present, and I'm always going to care about what you're going through. In John 8:58, He says, "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was, I am." Here Jesus takes the very name of God and calls Himself I am, just like God did. Jesus is God's illustration to us that He is empathetic with what we're going through. Why is Jesus that example? Why is Jesus the living illustration of God's nature of being empathetic? Because He came into this world to live as we live, to go through the things that we go through. God is letting us know, I understand what you go through. I am coming to earth in the form of a man, Jesus Christ, and I'm going to live the life that you live. Jesus is the perfect example. He is I am in the flesh. When God tells Moses, this is a spiritual aspect, but now Jesus is the physical manifestation of I am. I love that. It is God really getting personal with us, letting us know that I am indeed going to deliver you. I'm going to deliver you. We see it in God delivering the Israelites out of Egypt, but we see Jesus delivering us from our sins and the curse of death and the separation from God. He is doing the New Testament illustration of what God did when He delivered the Israelites from the Egyptians. The empathetic nature demonstrated in Jesus was not just from His birth forward. And it's interesting that the work of Christ reaches backwards before He was ever born. John 19:30 says, when He had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." This phrase, "it is finished," is in a form in the Greek that's called the pluperfect. And the pluperfect form means that it's always in the present. Always in the present. So if you take this phrase, "it is finished," and go back in time, back to Moses, back to the Egyptians and Israelites being in captivity there, it was in the present then. It's in the present when He said it, and it's in the present into the future when He's crucified, risen from the dead, and seated at the right hand of God. No matter where you place this phrase, "it is finished," it is always in the present, meaning the work of Christ is always in the present and always working, and it's always sufficient, and it's always finished. It's done. It completed what it was supposed to complete, which it provided what it was supposed to provide: salvation, deliverance, eternal life, all those things. It's always going to meet those needs. This, again, is another aspect of God's empathy for us, meeting our needs. I want to look at Hebrews 2, verses 16 through 18. It says, "For surely it is not angels He helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, He had to be made like His brothers in every way, in order that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that He might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because He Himself suffered when He was tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted." With this idea of I am being empathetic, we understand that another aspect of why God took on the form of man when He became flesh, so that He could, as it says, be tempted in every way that we've been tempted, to suffer as we've suffered. That is the idea of Jesus again saying, "I am," and taking on the form of mankind coming into the flesh. He knows what we've gone through. He identifies with us. And it says that because He Himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. Those who go through, and the term being tempted here means to be tested, to be scrutinized, to be enticed, that God identifies with us in those situations. He knows what we're going through. He is empathetic with us. Once again, we see that not only are we called to identify with Christ, but the even more exciting is that he identifies with us. It's great for us to identify with Christ, saying, as Christ is, so am I, because he identified with me and became like me. God identifies with us. It's always been one of the interesting things when we talk about that we are to fear God, this idea of a reverential respect that we always are told, fear God, and that's good, we should. But likewise, we're told in Psalm 139 that we were fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Not only are we called to have a reverential respect for God, but that God reverentially respects us in the way that he created us, in the way that he formed us, in the plan for our life. God has a reverential respect for man. And we see this in this phrase, I am, this word name, I am, where God identifies with us. Let's go on to Matthew 9, verse 35 through 38. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. When we are told to pray for workers here, it's not simply because the harvest is plentiful, but that God ultimately sees his people and he wants them to be saved. He empathizes with what we're going through. And we see that here when it says that he healed every disease and sickness. He preached good news to the crowd. He wants us to hear that message. He wants us to have the message, and he wants workers to go out into the harvest field and share this message. And that is, God loves you. God has empathy for what you're going through. God identifies with you. God has good news for you. He didn't just leave you to go through this on your own. He came to earth in the form of man and has gone through and suffered and experienced the temptations that you have experienced. He wants workers to go out and tell people that God identifies with them. He empathizes with us. We're not left on our own. We're not left to wonder how we're ever going to get through this. The answer is, God says, I am going to get you through this. I am going to deliver you from it. I am going to see that you have what you need. I just love that idea that God is the one who's going to meet these needs. And Jesus is the ultimate expression of that. And he wants us to know that. So he says, go out. Pray that there are workers to go out and share the good news that God empathizes with you. And when you ask, how am I going to get through this? Who's going to get me through this? God says, I am. Of course, we are to demonstrate Jesus' nature as well. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. God wants us to also be empathetic. It's how we minister to people. We understand what they're going through, and we identify with it. That way, they can know that we truly care. And so God tells us, if we want to demonstrate him as workers going out into the harvest field, the best way we can do that is that we also can be empathetic with them. That's how they know that God is really empathetic, that God really cares, is because we empathize with them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. That is how we take the gospel, the good news, out, and we share it with others. Matthew 22, verse 37 through 39 says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. What is he saying here? He's saying, be empathetic with your neighbors. Love them the way that you love yourself. Identify with them what they're going through, because you know what you go through. You know when you have hard times, you wish that somebody cared about you. That empathy is the word yourself. The empathy is found in that word, love your neighbor as yourself. We see this empathy. And so it's interesting, this God's greatest commandment is to love him, and the second one is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. He wants us to take the nature of God, the nature of I am, and he wants us to apply it as with our neighbors. Identify with them, empathize with them, love them the way that you care about yourself. This idea of the name I am runs through every aspect of who we are as Christians and how we're to conduct ourselves and how we're to interact with others. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Just as Christ had empathy with us, and so he became a man so that he could forgive us of our sins, he could identify with us, we are to be empathetic with one another. In other words, we are to be Christ-like. And by doing so, we put ourselves in the position to have others' people's sins forgiven. He says, above all else, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. When we empathize with people, when we care about what they're going through, that act of love helps them to receive the forgiveness, to have sin covered over, and we forgive them also and understand that they're going through hard times and difficult situations just like we are. So we demonstrate grace. We have mercy upon them because we identify with them. We see them as ourselves. We love our neighbors as ourselves. Again, we see this idea of the name of God, the very nature of God, throughout the Christian message, throughout our lives as Christians, through our ministries. It should be at the heart of everything that we do. But also, we should take great encouragement from it for our own lives and what we go through. So I want to close with this. When you understand this aspect of empathy in the nature of the name I am, when you hear and understand Jesus' first and most famous sermon with this added dimension of empathy, it's really exciting. Listen to what we often call to the Sermon on the Mount and think of the idea of empathy, the I am of God, in this passage. In Matthew 5, starting in verse 3, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, they will be comforted." Are those who mourn? Why are they going to be comforted? Because we serve an empathetic God, and we should be empathetic also. "Blessed are the meek, they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled." God's empathy causes everybody with these needs for their needs to be met. That is the nature of God when he says, "I am." "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." No matter what we're going through, God meets that need. In the name I am, we could take that passage from Exodus, and you could rewrite it a lot of different ways with a lot of different issues. It didn't have to just be the Israelites in Egypt going through that hard time. Take any other hard time and say, God says, I'm going to come to them and I hear your misery. I hear your crying out. I see that concern that you have and I'm going to deliver you from it. Who's going to do it? Who's going to deliver us? I am. It's not just in that, in the Israelites being in Egypt. That message is throughout the Christian message. God wants us to understand that. And so, you know, we are living in a really crazy time right now with this coronavirus. People are suffering not only physically, but financially. Relationships are difficult because people can't be around one another. And we're going through all these difficult times, but the great I am is the one who's going to meet all these needs. And I just wrote a few of these things down because I thought it was very interesting. When we say, "Who's going to save me?" God says, "I am." "Who's going to heal me if I'm sick?" God says, "I am." "Who's going to deliver me from this difficult situation?" "I am" is the one who's going to deliver us. "Who's going to bring peace in an otherwise stressful situation?" "I am." "Who's going to save my marriage if I'm struggling in that?" God says, "I am." "I need wisdom. I need direction. Who's going to give it to me?" "I am" is the one who's going to provide that for us. "Who is going to restore what Satan has tried to destroy and steal from me?" And God says, "I am." The answer is "I am." Why? Because we serve a God who cares. We serve a God who hears our cries. We serve a God who says, it is my nature to empathize with what you're going through and to care about it. And because I do, I sent Jesus Christ into the world to demonstrate that I care, to demonstrate that I understand, and to make a way for me to meet that need and see that you're delivered from every situation that comes against you in your life. I'm so glad that God makes that clear and that we can know that when we are going through these hard times, God says, I'm there with you. I am the one who will protect you and see you through it and bring you out of that situation. He is, I am. Would you bow your hearts and your heads with me?